Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed. We're learning today Li'ili Nishmas Edward Herman, Yitzhak Isaac, Ben Mordechai Halevi. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin on the very last line of Chaf Tes Omud Beis, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said a somewhat enigmatic statement, Amrulo Echad Yavna V'Echad Kol Mokom Sheyesh Bo Beis Din. The third opinion that we had in the Mishnah was that both in Yavne or in any other place where there's a Beis Din, you would be allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, that when it was Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. And on that, Rav Huna comments. And we're going to have two different versions of Rav Huna's statement, and we're going to have a big discussion about what Rav Huna was saying. So we begin the last line of the Gemara, Chav Tes Amid Beis, on Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, and we turn to Lamed Amid Aleph, the Im Beis Din. When we said that you're allowed to go and blow in Yavne, it meant the Im Beis Din. You have to go and blow with the Beis Din. And what does this mean? My, the Im Beis Din. So the Gemara tells us, Bifnei Beis Din. It means that it has to be directly, literally, in front of the Beis Din, in the actual presence of the Beis Din. As opposed to Lafuke, Shelo Bifnei Beis Din, any place not in the actual presence of Beis Din, you weren't allowed to blow in Yad Delo. Now, the Gemara is going to question Rav Huna's statement and say, is this really true? And Rav is going to ask the following. Most of Rav, it said in our Mishnah, V'od, that extra word V'od, which I pointed out, seems to be incongruous. It doesn't seem to be appropriate because we hadn't mentioned anything else but the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. So V'od, Zosai, so Yerushalayim, Yisrael, Yavne, V'chule. In this matter, Yerushalayim was better than it had additional kulas, if you wish, over Yavne. Now, the Gemara asks, my V'od, Zos. What does it mean? And in addition, we hadn't had any other statement. So, if you want to say it's like Rav Huna had said, that the Mishnah is telling us, in Yerushalayim, you could blow even not in the actual presence, Lifnei Beis Din, and in Yavne, you actually could only blow in the actual physical presence of the Beis Din, is it like Rav Huna had said, then we got a problem. It shouldn't have said Ve'od Zos, it should have said Zos Mibayle. This is the difference. Not that there are other differences. This is the only difference. In Yerushalayim, you can blow any place in Yerushalayim. In Yavne, you can only blow in the actual physical presence of the Beis Din. So why did it say the word Ve'od? Elo, Rava says, Elo de Yerushalayim Tokin Yechidin, Ubiyavne ain't Tokin Yechidin. There's another difference. That in Yerushalayim, individual people could blow the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. But in Yavne, individual people could not blow the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. More questions is, really? Ubi Yavne ain't token yechidin. Individuals didn't blow the shofar. Only one time did they blow the shofar in front of Beis Din. But that can't be. Valki also, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef, when Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef came to Bavel, he told him, Omar, ki misayim shlicha ditzibura tekiyo biYavne. In Yavne, this was post the Beis HaMikdash, and they were blowing now in Yavne, no longer in Yerushalayim Nebuch. So he said, Omar, ki misayim shlicha ditzibura tekiyo biYavne. When they finished blowing the shofar in Yavne, lo shama inish kol une. A person couldn't hear anything in his ear. It was so loud, mikol tekoyaya diyichidoi. There were so many individual people blowing shofar that you couldn't hear yourself think. You couldn't hear anything. There were so many shofars blowing. Now, how can you therefore tell me that ain't token yechidin? So it must be elolav. The Yerushalayim, the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne is as follows. Not like Rav Huna had said. The Yerushalayim token bein bizman based in or bein shalo bizman based in. In Yerushalayim, they would be able to blow not only during the time that the Beis Din was sitting in Yerushalayim, but even after the time that the Beis Din was sitting in Yerushalayim. Beis Din would sit Mistama earlier in the day, and then they would go and blow during the time that Beis Din was, but even afterwards they would blow. And in Biyavne, only Bizman Beis Din, only during the time that the Beis Din was sitting, would they be allowed to go and blow. Shelo Bizman Beis Din, but when the Beis Din wasn't sitting, low, they wouldn't be allowed to blow. That's number one. Then, Ha Bizman Beis Din Miha Tokin, who would be able to go and blow during the time of Beis Din? Afilu shelo bifnei basin, but even if you weren't in front of the basin, it just had to be the time that the basin was sitting, not like Rav Huna said, lifnei basin. So this is Rava's kasha on Rav Huna. But the Gemara says, no, Rava's wrong. Lo, because the ilu b'Yerushalayim, the way to understand this is in Yerushalayim, token bein bifnei basin, bein shelo bifnei basin, but it was during the time that the basin was sitting. So in Yerushalayim, they could blow both before in front of the Beis Din, or they could blow not in front of the Beis Din. But biyadne, only bifnei Beis Din, only in actual front of the Beis Din, in shelo bifnei Beis Din lo, but not when the Beis Din wasn't there, even at the time that the Beis Din was sitting. And therefore, Rav Huna's understanding is correct. It meant literally bifnei Beis Din. That's what it meant, in front of the Beis Din directly. The reason why Rava didn't say like Rav Huna was because he felt that if all the people were blowing the shofar, so he felt it was more likely that they were blowing it outside of the basin, because he said that the call of the Tokiyah, the Yechidai, was so loud, you couldn't hear yourself think, there was so much noise, so he felt that it's not that they were all sitting in front of the basin and blowing, he felt it must be that they were doing it outside. But Rav Huna said, no, they all did it in the actual presence of the basin. At the end of davening, everybody took out the shofar and blew. That's the first version that we have of Rav Huna. There's a second version that said Rav Huna, when he made his statement, he made it on the following statement. The pasuk tells us, on Yom Kippur, the Yovel, you blow the shofar throughout the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Lame, that teaches us this pasuk, that every single person has an obligation to go blow the shofar, not just Beis Din. And on this, on Rav Huna, the Im Beis Din, but they have to blow it with the Beis Din. What does it mean, with the Beis Din? My, the Im Beis Din. So on this, Rav Huna had meant Bizman Beis Din. It was during the time that the Beis Din was sitting, albeit not in front of the Beis Din, because you're blowing it all throughout Eretz Yisrael. But let's say Beis Din was sitting in the morning at 10 o'clock, so then everybody would blow the shofar throughout Eretz Yisrael at 10 o'clock in the morning. Lafuke, as opposed to Shalom Bizman Beis Din, but at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, low. They didn't blow then, because it was only allowed to be blown, Rav Huna said, during the time that the Beis Din was sitting, but not after the Beis Din was sitting, but they obviously blew it throughout Eretz Yisrael during the time that Beis Din was sitting. Again, according to the second version, Rava also questions Rav Huna's understanding. Most of Rava, according to the second version here, Rava asks, Tiki asks, now we have the Girsa, Rosh Hashanah V'Yovel. To make it easier, we're going to follow the Groz amendation over here. And the Groz says, it's just talking about the Tekiah that we blow on Yovel. So the Gra would read this as Tekiah Yovel. And that's the way we'll understand it just a little bit easier. You can understand it with the words Rosh Hashanah, but we'll learn it like the Gra. Tekiah Yovel, Doche Es HaShabbos Begulin. So if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, so they would blow the shofar throughout Eretz Yisrael in the Yovel year when Yom Kippur came out on Shabbos, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, Begulin. And Ish Ubeso. He further said that each person does it ubeso. Now, what does it mean, my ishu beso? What does it mean, each person does it with his house? So, ilema, normally we say that beso of a person is his wife. Ishto zubeso. So, ish the ishto, if you're telling me that each man and his wife blew the shofar, that can't be. It's women, mi mechayava. Women aren't obligated in the blowing of the shofar on Yovel. Why not? Because there's a classical mitzvah saseh shezman gromahi. We call mitzvah saseh shezman gromahi noshim paturas. This is a time-dependent mitzvah. You can only blow it on Yom Kippur, the 10th day of Tishrei, in the Yovel year. Can't be more time-dependent than that. And therefore, it's a time-dependent mitzvah, and women would not be obligated. Torah doesn't obligate women to do time-dependent mitzvahs. One could simply understand this, that women have other obligations. If the baby needs to be fed, you can't say, no, the woman should ignore her baby and go and blow the shofar. So therefore, women cannot perform necessarily a time-dependent mitzvah. And therefore, the Torah said they're potter, they're exempt from doing time-dependent mitzvahs, as I say. Elolav, so therefore, what does it mean, ish uveso? It means, elolav, ish beveso. It means each man blows it in his house, in his house, but he doesn't have to do it. Afilu shalom bizman Beis Din, but it doesn't have to be during the time of the Beis Din. You can blow whenever you want on Yom Kippur, even not when it's the time that the Beis Din is sitting. Kasha on what Rav Huna said, they can only blow in their houses during the time that the Beis Din is sitting. Shmuel says no. Rav again is incorrect. Lolom bizman Beis Din. According to the second version, Rav is incorrect. Rav Huna is right as well. That we are talking about during the zman of the Beis Din, that you blow the shofar throughout the land of Eretz Yisrael, but only during the time that the Beis Din is sitting in session, not like Rava says. We try again to shlug up Rav Huna. Here we have not Rava, but Rav Sheshes. Most of Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says on Rav Huna, the second version of Rav Huna, that it's talking about the Yovel that comes out, Yom Kippur, on Shabbos. So most of Rav Sheshes, he says, Shava HaYovel L'Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyah V'L'Brachos. Our Mishnah had said that Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are similar in terms of the Tekiah and also in terms of the Brachos. Now, what's the difference here? This is a Brisa, it's not quoting our Mishnah, it's quoting the Brisa because it adds on. Elish B'Yovel, token bein bebeisdin shekitchubo esachodesh ubein bebeisdin shelo kitchubo esachodesh. He says that the yovel, you're allowed to go blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, it falls out on Shabbos, whether it's in the Beis Din that actually declared when it was Rosh Chodesh, in the presence of the Beis Din that declared that it was Rosh Chodesh, or even in front of any other Beis Din that hadn't declared when it was Rosh Chodesh. Furthermore, b'chol yochid v'yochid chayv l'koa, as we pointed out, it says, v'avir shofar b'chol artzuchem. So you have to blow throughout Eretz Yisrael. So obviously it can't be physically in front of the Beis Din. B'chol yochid v'yochid chayv l'koa, and every individual has to go and blow the shofar. That's on Yovel. On Rosh Hashanah, it's different. Over Rosh Hashanah, lo yatokin ela v'beisin shekitchu bo sechodesh. As opposed to the Yovel, when Yom Kippur came out on Shabbos, you could blow all over the place, not only in front of the basin, it was Makadish the Chodesh, you could blow it in front of every basin across the country, but on Rosh Hashanah, they only blew the shofar in front of the basin, Shekichu Bo Sechodesh. When Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, so they only blew it in that basin that it declared it was Rosh Chodesh. And there is no obligation for the individual to go and blow shofar. In front of the basin, you could, but outside that basin, there was no such obligation. Now, my ein kol yochid yochid chayv l'tkoa. Here we have Rav Sheshes' question, Rav Huna. What does it mean that ein kol yochid yochid chayv l'tkoa? They're not obligated to go and blow the shofar. So here's his question: Ilei mo debi yovel token yechidin. If you tell me that in the yovel year, obviously all the individuals have to blow the shofar. Rosh Hashanah ain't token yechidin, but in Rosh Hashanah you don't have individual people blowing. But that's not true because we had the statement earlier in the first version of Rav Huna's statement, and here we have it again. Bok Yosef Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef came to Eretz Yisrael, came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said, "Ki abe masayim shlicha de tzibura." Ki Yosef biyabde, when they finished blowing the shofar in front of the Beis Din in Yabde, lo shama inish kol une. The person couldn't hear himself think. He couldn't hear any sounds in his ear because of the multitude of people blowing the shofar at that time. Mikal tikioya the yichidoi, because of all the sounds of the individual blowing the shofar. So you do see that individuals will have to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shcholios B'Shabbos. Elolav, what does the Braisa tell us? Dilu biyovel token, in the Yovel year, when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, person is allowed to blow the shofar, bein bizman beis din, bein shelo bizman beis din. Whether you're doing it during the time that the beis din is sitting or not, that's allowed. On Rosh Hashanah, however, bizman beis din in, only during the time that the beis din is sitting are you allowed to blow the shofar, shelo bizman beis din lo, but not when the beis din is not sitting. Then you're not allowed to go and blow the shofar. Now, what does this mean? Here's the kasha. Tani Mias, biyovel, bein bizman beis din, bein shelo bizman beis din, you're allowed to go and blow the shofar. Now, Rav Huna had said only during the time that the beis din is sitting. You blow it throughout Eretz Yisrael, but only the time the beis din is sitting. But clearly, this brisa, as brought down by Rav Sheshes, understands that you're allowed to blow even on the yovel, right, Yom Kippur, that falls out on Shabbos, throughout Eretz Yisrael, even when the beis din is not sitting. So Gemara says, no, that's the incorrect way. Rav Sheshes is wrong as well. La'olam bizman beis din, only that you're allowed to blow when Yom Kippur, Shcholios B'Shabbos, and it's the Yovel year, and they're blowing the shofar, it only means that they're allowed to blow throughout Eretz Yisrael during the time that the Beis Din in Yavne is sitting. And this is what the Braisa is teaching us. B'Yovel, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos in the Yovel year, Bizman Beis Din token, during the time that the Beis Din is sitting, you're allowed to blow the shofar. And this is true, Bein Bifnei Beis Din, Bein Shalom Bifnei Beis Din, obviously, in Haifa and all the other places in Eretz Yisrael. So it's not going to be in front of the Beis Din, but it has to be during the time that the Beis Din is sitting. And the Braisa is telling us, as opposed to when Rosh Hashanah Shcholios B'Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, only token Bizman Beis Din, Ubifnei Beis Din. You cannot blow any time you want, and you can only blow when the Beis Din is sitting, and then only in the presence of the Beis Din. Oh, so that is Rav Huna's answer to Rav Sheshes as well. So now the Gemara is going to tell us in support of Rav Huna. Until now we've been asking kashas on Rav Huna. Now we have Itmar Nami. It was stated just like Rav Huna in the following statement. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Gamda. Rav Chiya Bar Gamda said, Amar Rav Yossi Ben Shaul, who said the name of Rav Yossi Ben Shaul, who said Amar Rebbe, said that Rebbe said, Ain token ela kozman should Beis Din Yoshvin. You're not allowed to blow the shofar except at the time that the Beis Din is seated, just like Rav Huna had said. So when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos in the Yovel year, so Beis Din sits at 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it is, so throughout Eretz Yisrael, they're allowed to blow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't have to be in front of the Beis Din, obviously. Yeah, you're in Haifa, you're in Tel Aviv, you can't blow in front of the Beis Din, but you have to blow at the time that the Beis Din is sitting. This statement in the name of Rebbe is exactly as Rav Huna had said. Now they asked another shaila. Boy, Rav Zeir asked, what happens? You're telling me it has to be during the time that Beis Din is sitting. How do we define that the Beis Din is sitting? Well, they're still sitting. It's clear that that's the time that Beis Din is sitting. What happens if Ninaru Lamod? Rashi says Ninaru Lamod means Nekru Mimoshvam. They're beginning to uproot themselves from their seats. Kidei Lamod Velelech. So Beis Din, they banged on the gavel, Kaviyochel. So they said, okay, the Beis Din is over, but they're still sitting there, but they're about to get up. Is that called the Beis Din is still sitting there that people could still blow the shofar? Ninaru Lamod, the low amdu, but they didn't yet get up. They're raising themselves to get up. Mahu, what's the halacha? Can you still blow the shofar? Is that called Bizman Beis Din throughout the rest of Eretz Yisrael, or is that not? So, two possibilities. Do we say that, in fact, Beis Din Yoshvin Be'inon, you actually need Beis Din to be sitting in order for them to blow Va'ika, and Beis Din is still sitting? Or Dilma, do we say no, Zaman Beis Din Be'inon? It has to be during the time that the Beis Din is actually sitting as a Beis Din. But here they, Kaviyochel, banged on the gavel and said, this session is over, and now, even though they're still sitting, it's not called Bizman Beis Din, and therefore you wouldn't be able to blow the shofar anymore outside in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because the Beis Din no longer is sitting, even though they're physically sitting, but the session is over. Lelecha. And therefore, it's not called sitting in front of the blowing at the time that the Beis Din is sitting, and the Gemara says, take it. We don't resolve this issue. Okay. Mara then continues to quote the Mishnah. Ba'od zos hoy, so Yushalayim Yisera al-Yavneh. There's another aspect of Yushalayim was Yisera al-Yavneh. And what was that aspect of Yushalayim? So in Yushalayim, we said in the Mishnah, we quoted that you had to be, if you were within roa distance of Yushalayim, you could blow the shofar. What does it mean, roa distance? Prat li-yoshevet benachal. You had to physically be able to see Yushalayim. If you were in a valley, so then you weren't allowed to blow, even though you're within the close distance of Yushalayim, but you couldn't see Yushalayim because you were in a lower area in a valley, so then you couldn't blow shofar on Yushalayim. Rishon Shcholios b'Shabbos. Then we said Shomas, you have to be able to hear. So what does that exclude? Prat, excluding Leo Shevis of Rosh Har. If you were way high up and you were able to see Yushalayim, you were physically, if you just went as the crow flies, you were only, a thousand am away, so you were within the distance to be able to see and walk to Yushalayim, but you were so high up, so you were on one of the Judean mountains that you couldn't actually hear the shofar blowing, so that would be excluded as well. You didn't blow the shofar over there. Krova, what does it mean? In the Mishnah, we said you have to be near Yushalayim. Pratli Yoshev is chutz tchum. It had to be within the tchum of Yushalayim. In other words, you have to be able to physically go from your city, from where you were, your town, your place, to Yushalayim. If you were able to do so, you were within the tchum, so then you were able to go blow shofar in that place. And finally, the last characteristic was the Yechol Olavo, and you had to be able to physically come. So if you're in the tchum, why couldn't you physically come? So obviously it must come to exclude something else. Parat lamafsik lo nahara. As opposed to if there was a river or some sort of a body of water that prevented you from getting there, you couldn't cross it on Shabbos. You can't go take a ferry, you can't go swim, you can't go and use a boat on Shabbos. So therefore, if there was a body of water that prevented you from going, so they also wouldn't be allowed to go blow the shofar in that place on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. That concludes this beautiful discussion, and we begin the next Mishnah. Barishona, Hayalulav Dita B'Mikdash Shiva. We had this previously when we were learning the Gemara in Sukkah, and it said that originally the halacha is the Midaraisa. You take the lulav only 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Uba Medina, we had a machlokus. What does this mean? Does it mean outside the Beis HaMikdash, or does it mean outside Yerushalayim? Whatever it means, Uba Medina Yom Echad. In the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the rest of the world, you only take the lulav Midaraisa on the first day. That's it. However, Nebuch, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made many takonas, as we've mentioned, and this was one of them, Sheilulav Nital Ba'Medina Shiva. He said that we should go and take the lulav all 7 days of Sukkis as a zecher lemikdash to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash when they took it 7 days. Otherwise, that din would be gone. If there was no Beis HaMikdash, then nobody would ever be taking the lulav all 7 days. So as a zecher to the mikdash, the first day remains daraisa outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but the other 6 days of Sukkis that we take the lulav in Esrog, that is a din derabbanon, zecher lemikdash. In addition, he made another gzeira, and this one is a famous one that we learned in Gemara Masechet. Shei Yom Hanaf Kulo Oser. The Yom Hanaf is the day of first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael when they would bring the Korban Omer. The Korban Omer was a requirement that they go and reap the barley and go and collect the barley. Korban Homa was made from barley and it was sifted many, many times. It was very, very finely sifted, so it was like wheat. And this barley Korban Homa offering was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, early in the morning under normal circumstances, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. Nebuch, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so this Korban Omer couldn't be brought. Now, what was the purpose of this Korban Omer? Amongst other things, it mattered the new crop to be no longer called Chodosh, but now it was called Yoshin, and you're allowed to go and eat from the new crop of wheat. So anything that was in the ground at this point in time, it was Nishrash. So then the bringing of the Korban Omer would allow you to harvest this, and this would be called Yoshin, and you'd be allowed to go and eat it. So normally this occurred when the Korban Homer was brought. Normally during the early part of the day, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, on Tes Zayin Nisan. However, Nebuch, when the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, so Rav Yochim Zakin was masaking that the entire day of Tes Zayin is still also to have the Chodosh, and only on the next day would you be allowed to go and eat the new crop. And we'll discuss this obviously more in the Gemara. We've discussed this all in the past. This is really a Chazarishir on this Mishnah. Gemara starts off and says, where do we get this idea that there is a concept of Zeich LeMikdash? The Yochanan Zaki came up with this idea to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a very important pasuk. The Omar Kra, the pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk that you find in Yirmiyahu, and it tells us, I read the whole pasuk first, Ki ale arucha loch, u'mimako sayich erpo'ech niyom Hashem, ki nidocha karulach, siyonhi, doresh ein lo. So this is a comment that Yirmiyahu tells us that this is what the Goyim are going to say about us. First, it says, Hashem says, I will cure you. Ki ale arucha loch, when you have a wound, I will cure you. And from the very wound itself, erpoech, no Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch says, I will heal you from the very wound itself. Pasuk continues, ki nidocha karloch, the Goyim have called you nidocha, the one that's pushed aside. They say, Tzion, he, this is the great Tzion, nah. Doresh ein lo, nobody cares about her anymore. Nobody is seeking her. So from the fact that we're being mekatreg over here, that the Goyim is saying that we don't seek out Sion, that we are in Doresh lo, so miklal, you see from this pasuk, from the negative, you see the positive, the boyadrisha, that we have to go and constantly remind ourselves. So we have to go and seek out Sion. We have to go and be always making ways to remember what Yerushalayim means to us. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zaki took this pasuk and he said, we're going to be masaki in the Zeich LeMikdash. Then we said at the end of the Mishnah, it was because the first part of the Mishnah discussed the Gemara in Sukkah, so it's not discussed over here. So the end of the Mishnah says, Ushe Yom Hanaf Kulo Aser. Now, one could ask, this is also discussed in the Gemara in Sukkah in great detail, but this is discussed again over here. In any event, the Mishnah says, as I pointed out, that the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael is known as the Yom Hanaf because they would go and bring the Korban Omer, and this would be allowing them to go and eat the new crop, the new wheat, all the grains. What was called Chodesh is now called Yoshin, allowed to eat it. Now, what does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan Mazaki was masaking that the entire day of the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach it still should be considered all Chodesh and not able to be eaten? My time, what was his reasoning? Because he said, "B'mehiru b'meinu, mehiru yibona beis hamikdash, this should come, mehiru b'meinu, we really want the beis hamikdash to be rebuilt." So Mitz Hashem, this coming Pesach, what's going to happen? The beis hamikdash, Mitz Hashem, is going to be rebuilt. And the Yomru, everybody's going to say, well, let's scratch our heads here and think, what did we do last year? Last year, we were able to eat, since once this day comes and there was no Beis HaMikdash, technically we're working within the understanding, we'll see another understanding in a few moments, but right now we're working with the understanding that as soon as it's sunlight, as soon as the day dawn breaks, that is now considered the first day of Chol HaMoed during the day. So boom, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, right now the day itself is matir yuti the chodesh. So people are going to say, last year there was no Beis HaMikdash, and what did we do? We ate as soon as it was dawn. So for breakfast, you had your sandwich, you had the new wheat. You were able to go already grind up the new wheat and go and have from the new wheat. It wasn't called Chodosh, it now was called Yoshin. So people are going to say, as soon as the sun lit up the sky on the east, as soon as dawn came, we could eat. So this year too. So this year, when Baruch Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash has been rebuilt, they're not going to realize it's the Korban Omer now that matters. They're going to say, last year we ate it this time, the year before we ate it this time, so now for breakfast we can also have the new wheat. But they're not going to know. They're going to make a mistake, and they're not going to know that the reason why they could eat last year, there was no Korban Omer, and that's why they could eat at the rise of dawn. Because, as soon as it was dawn, the eastern sky is lit up. So heter. So now they're allowed to go and eat the new crop. However, hashto, but this year, Baruch Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The Ik Omer, and now there is a Korban Omer, so it's not the day anymore, not daybreak that goes and allows you to eat the Chodesh, it's the Korban Omer that is Matir. And therefore, they're going to make a mistake and eat the new crop. They're going to eat what's still called Chodesh, it's not Yoshan, before the Korban Omer is brought. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, we better go make this Gezerah, that the entire day is no good. So, the Meher Yemein, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, they still won't eat it until the Korban Omer. There's no problem if they don't eat it early. The only problem is if they eat it early. So, if they didn't know this din, so they'll still wait till the end of the day, Nishka Fe'aloch, but we'll teach them that they're allowed to eat the new crop once the Korban Omer is brought. So there's no takola, therefore Rabbi Yochanan set it up that they should not eat the entire Yom Hanaf when the Beis HaMikdash is not around. The Gemara has some technical questions on this. It says, when are we talking about that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, that we have this concern? The Mivnei Emas, when will it be rebuilt? If we say Ilemo de Ibn Bishisa, that it's actually built on the first day of Cholamai Pesach, on the 16th day, on Tezayin of Nisan, so then, Hare Heir Mizrach Hiter. So then the Beis HaMikdash wasn't it rebuilt at the time that the dawn rose, and therefore it technically is not the Korban Omer. It would be the fact that it was the dawn's rising that permits the new wheat, so there would be no takal in that situation. So what are we talking about? Elo de Ivnei B'chameser. We're talking about, now that's the Gersa that we have. In the Masoros HaShas, he says that we're not Gersa the word B'chameser. In any event, we'll just keep it the way it is. He says that if you're telling me that it's built on the 15th, which is, of course, the first day of Pesach, which will be a problem because we'll say in a moment in the Gemara, you're not allowed to go rebuild the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. But right now, we'll leave this aside. So he says, Elo de Ivnei B'chameser. If you're telling me that the Beis HaMikdash was built on the 15th day, so then they'll go and cut the Korban Omer on the nighttime of the first day of Chol HaMoed, on the beginning, or L'Tez Zayin, and that would be the way it would be done in every year. The Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so they can go reap and harvest. It takes them a while to do everything. And you can guarantee, however, that by Chatzos, Mechatzos, Hayom, Ulahal, and Lishteri, because there's no way that they didn't go and bring the Korban Omer, at least by Chatzos, because it took a while to go and reap it and cut it and sift it. There was a lot of processing that had to be done. It was very, very, very finely ground, very, very finely sifted. So therefore, it would be brought, certainly, by Chatzos. So why did Yochanan Zakkai say Yom Hanef Kulo Osri? He should have said until Chatzos, because worse comes to worse. If there were to be that the people would make a mistake, it could only be that they would make it on the first half of the day. So therefore, he should have been Gozer. Don't eat it in the first half of the day, because the hair remained, the Beis HaMikdash will rebuild. It certainly would be available that the Korban Omer would be brought by Chatzos. So then it shouldn't be a problem. Thought not, because we learned in the Mishnah Menachos, that tells us, Harichokin, the people that live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't know what was going on. So when could they start eating the new crop? It was no longer called Chodesh, it's now called Yoshon. Haruchokim Mutar Mechatzos Hayom Al-Halam, because it was a guarantee. Lefisha Ein Beis Din Mis Atzlambo, the Beis Din and the Beis HaMikdash, that would make sure that all the Korbanos are being brought. There was reason. Kohanim's reason, maybe. And therefore, you could take it to the bank that the Korban Omer was definitely brought by Chatzos. So again, if the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt on the 16th, then Heir Mizrach, there'd be again no takola. If the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt on the 15th, so then there also would be no takola if you made it Chatzos. So why did Yochanan Zakkai say Kulo the entire day, Kulo Yom Hanef is Osir? Gemara says, no, you need it for the following. Lo Nitzucha, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the takon is appropriate, the Ivne B'chameser, Somuch L'shkiyas HaChamor. We're dealing over here that it was rebuilt, and again here, the we're not going to the word the 15th, according to this Girsa. I think I spoke before that we weren't going to the 15th. Before, we were going to the 15th. It's over here that the Masoros HaShas says we're not going to the 15th. I'm sorry, I misspoke a moment ago. So here, the Ibnei B'chameser, or not Chameser, it was rebuilt, Somuch L'shkiyas HaChamor, right before the sun sets, or Inami, the Ibnei B'lelya, or is built at nighttime, and therefore, in that situation, they wouldn't necessarily have all the barley collected, gathered, harvested, ground up well, sifted well, by Chatzos. And therefore, that's why, for this unusual case, that it was rebuilt late in the afternoon on the 15th, or at the night of the 16th, and therefore, you couldn't guarantee that with all the processing required, that the Korban Omer would be brought in this situation. They were so busy with rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and this would come after that. Maybe it would be brought later in the afternoon of first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, and that could lead to a takol. If they say, last year we ate by Chatzos, and this year we're allowed to eat by Chatzos too, not realizing that this year it's the Korban Omer it's going to be matir, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that the entire day, Yom Hanef, is Kulo Aser. Now, Rashi points out that there's a little bit of a problem over here, because you're saying that the Beis HaMikdash was built on the 15th. That's not allowed. It's Yontif. And Rashi brings down, you can see this Rashi two lines on the bottom of the daf, in the middle of the Rashi Dira Maschel Lo Tzricha, where Rashi says, how can you possibly build the Beis HaMikdash on the 15th, which is Yom Tiv, or Udivne Balayli, you're not allowed to go build the Beis HaMikdash at night? Well, Kaimalon, B'Masechta Shavuos, we're learning more in Shavuos, Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Lo B'Yom Tiv, V'Lo B'Layla. You're not allowed to go and build the Beis HaMikdash on a day of Yom Tiv, or Shabbos, by the way, or at nighttime. So, how could this possibly have occurred? So Rashi says that's talking about if a person builds the Beis HaMikdash. Hani mili binyan bidei odom. If a person builds the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're not docha Yom Tiv Shabbos, you're not docha the night. Avo binyan ha'osid lovo bidei shemayim hi. The Beis HaMikdash is already waiting there in Shemayim. It's all fully built. Hashem's just waiting to bring it down when we deserve it. B'chol yom achakelo. So as soon as we're ready and deserving, that Beis HaMikdash will be brought down. Therefore, it could come down on Yom Tov. It could come down even at night because it's already built. And only Bnei Adam can't build it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it already fully built. In any event, that's teretz number one as to why Rav Yochanan Mizrachi was misaking that the entire Yom Hanaf is kulo osur. Now, we're not goris the word Omar here because that would then imply that we're still discussing the first teretz. So the right way to be gorisit, according to Mesoros Hashas, is Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Omar, and therefore this is a new statement, this is a second answer, and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak's statement is that Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai returned to Lamed Omer Beis, Bishitas Rabbi Yehuda Amora, that this is going according to the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda lived many generations after Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai was at the turn of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Yehuda lived afterwards. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore this was after the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi explains in the Gemara in Sukkah that Oso Shita Shahaya Rabbi Yehuda, Shahaya Mitamidei Tamidov, he was a Talmud of a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva was his Rabbi, and Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Eliezer, and they were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. In any event, this Shita, Rashi says, is the same Shita that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had, was made popular by Rabbi Yehuda, and it's known as Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is holding Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda. He himself held that Shita, but we refer to it as Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Beshitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara. Now, what is that Shita? The Amar that he holds, not that this was all a Gzeira, but this was a Din D'Araisa. Unless you bring the Korban Omer, Mid D'Araisa, the new wheat is still considered new wheat and is also until after the day is over if you don't bring the Korban Omer. And this is based upon the Pasuk that says, the Lechem, the Koli, the Charma, Lo Sochlu, Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, until Etzem of Hayom Hazeh. Ad Atzmo Shol Yom, the Gemara says, it means until the day is totally concluded. And therefore, that's the Din D'Araisa. And therefore, the Kosovar, Ad v'ad b'chlal. We include ad atzma means up until and including the end of the day. So therefore, the din d'araisa is that you're not allowed to have the new wheat if there is no korban omer until the end of the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, until the end of Tes Zayin. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was not going against the Torah. He was going in accord with the Torah. Mor says, really? Does Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai hold in this shita that we just attributed to Rabbi Yehuda that says midaraisa you're also to eat the new wheat until you bring the korban omer, and if you don't bring the korban omer, it means until the end of the day? He argues with him. Where do we see this? Because Ditnan, the same Mishnah Menachos discusses, Ditnan, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rechmona Litzlan, so his kin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai she yom hanev. Kulo Aser. It says that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misaking that the entire day should be Aser. The first day Chol HaMoed Tes Zayin Nisan should be Aser. But that's a Takana de Rabbanan. And to that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, V'alo minator Aser. He says, I have this drosha, Adetz HaMayom HaZeh. Tuchsiv, Adetz HaMayom HaZeh. So this drosha is the reason that it's Aser. Not that it's a Takana de Rabbanan. So it looks like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. So how can you tell me that B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara, that they hold the same Shita? Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman Yitzchak is correct. Because when Rabbi Yehuda answered in this Mishnah in Menachos to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, how can you say this? V'alo minatoru Aser, he misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was being misaking. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda Huda Kotoy, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda was making a mistake in understanding what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misaking. Ihu Rabbi Yehuda Sova Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai midirabanon kamar. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was making this a takana dirabanon, that you're not allowed to have the new wheat until the end of the day. Yom Hanav Kulu Aser. He thought that was a din dirabanon that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying. Belohi, but that's incorrect. In fact, midoraisu kamar, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was being misaking which we'll explain in a moment why we use the word Misaki, but he was telling us Midoraisa Kamar, that Rav Yochanan Misaki is fully in agreement with Yehuda that it's a din daraisa. He agreed with this din of ad etzma yom azeh, ad atzmo shol yom, v'ksover ad biyad b'chlal, and it was Rav Yehuda who misunderstood and thought that Rav Yochanan Misaki was not in agreement with him because he used the lashon of Misaki. So the Gemara says, what? Rav Yehuda's right. Boy, his skin kitani. Rav Yochanan Misaki seems to be saying, I'm making a takana, which means it's a derabanan. So how can you tell me that he means it's a deraisa? So Rav Yehuda misunderstood what Rav Yochanan Misaki said when he said he was misakin. My hiskin, what did the word hiskin that Rav Yochanan Misaki used, what did it really mean? It meant the darash. He darshin the same way that Rav Yehuda later on with darshin. Ad etzma yom hazeh was Rav Yochanan Misaki's drasha as well. And the hiskin, and therefore he set up that the people should follow the din deraisa. As Rashi says, darash lam ha-mikra, the hiskin shiyan higo iser lefi sha'ad achshav hayoheter bedover mishukarva omer shomer matir. Because until now you had the Torah's dispensation to say that the din of ad etzem hayom hazeh doesn't apply if you bring the carbon omer. So Rav Yochanan Misaki was misaking the custom that the Torah had prescribed, and therefore he made sure the people didn't follow what they did previously, which was you can eat the new wheat as soon as the carbon omer is, because this year there is no carbon omer. So they're going to mistakenly think, well, it's always more b'chatzos, so you can have it this year b'chatzos as well. No, so he was teaching them. Misaki means he was teaching them this din d'oraisa. Now we go on to the next Mishnah, which teaches us another takon of Rav Yochanan Misaki. Bari Shona, the Mishnah says, so you make an ezes chodesh kol yom. Originally, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they would declare the Re'iyah based upon the witnesses, so they would accept the Eidus of the new witnesses that they saw the new moon, and they would even in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah, on the 30th day after Elul, so even though they only came in the afternoon, they would accept them, and they would declare this day somewhat retroactively to be Rosh Hashanah. Now, Pam Achas, one time the witnesses were very much delayed in coming for whatever the reason. Nishtahu Eidim Ilavo, took them a very long time to come. They came half an hour before the Shkia. The Niskalkalu Levim Bashir, and the Levim, as a result, made a mistake in the Shir. We'll see in the Gemara that this is talking about the Shir for the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. The Korban Tamid of Shachris, so they were always going to go sing. That was usually brought the first thing in the morning, so that was before witnesses could come. And Basin could declare that this is Rosh Chodesh. So the morning Karban Tamid was always sung, the weekday song that they would sing, the Shir Shal Hayom, they would sing by the Karban Tamid Shal Shachris. And normally they would sing that by the Karban Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim as well. But here, because it was Rosh Hashanah, they sang the wrong tune. The Niskalkul Avim Bashir, as we'll see in the Gemara, what exactly this means, but they sang the wrong tune or they didn't sing any tune. We'll see two opinions in the Gemara. And therefore, because they accepted the witnesses so late in the day, it led to this Kalkola. It led to this problem. So therefore, along comes with Yochanan Misaki, his kinu, his beis din was misakin shiloyu makablim, that they wouldn't go and take witnesses elo ad hamincha. They would only accept witnesses until mincha, which is the tamid shel bein harbayim. If the witnesses hadn't come, they would no longer accept them later that day, and they would declare that both that day as well as the next day would be Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mishnah tells us. If the witnesses came after they already brought the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, so now, technically, today should have been Rosh Hashanah. They ultimately, therefore, would have said the wrong shir. So therefore, Noagin also Ayom Kodesh, they still kept that day as Rosh Hashanah. Well, Amacha Kodesh, but the next day they considered as Rosh Hashanah as well. And this is the source that we always have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. However, Mishuchar Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nebuch, so then, Hiskin, Yochanan Misaki, Shumakablim, Eidus HaChodesh Kol Yom. So then, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so they went back to the original custom, that's what Yochanan Misaki was misakin, that they would now accept the Eidus HaChodesh Kol Yom, because Nebuch, there wouldn't be any takolo, because there was no Beis HaMikdash, and they couldn't make a mistake on the bringing of the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim by singing the wrong song, because Nebuch, they weren't bringing the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Morris Dotson says, Ma kilkul, kilkulu havi bashir. What exactly happened when they accepted the witnesses later in the day that they messed up the shear of the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim? So, Hocha, Rashi explains, Hocha means here in Bavel, Targimu, they explained it as follows. Shalo amru shira kol ikar. They didn't make any shira at all. In other words, when they were bringing the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, they said, we don't know if witnesses are going to come. If they come, then it's Rosh Hashanah. We should be singing the Rosh Hashanah song. If they don't come, then it's a weekday. We should be singing the weekday song. So we said, better in Babel, this is the way they understood it. They said the kilkul that they did was Shalom Amru Shira Kolika. So they sang no song. They said, better to do nothing actively wrong, because there's a 50% chance that we'll be wrong. So therefore, do nothing. That's the opinion of Babel. Rav Zeira, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Zeira Amar, Sha'amru Shira Shalchol, Im Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. No, they said the Edom haven't come yet, so therefore it's still the 30th day of Elul. It's a weekday, and they sang the regular Shir Shel Yom for that day of the week, and then the witnesses subsequently came. It turned out that they had sung the wrong song. So, again, in Bavel, they said they didn't sing any song at all, and in Eretz Yisrael, Ruzera said that they had, in fact, sung the weekday song instead of the Rosh Hashanah song when they brought the Korban Torah Shabbat Arbayim. To prove his point, Rabbi Zeira goes and tells his son, Amalo Rabbi Zeira le'ava b'rei. Rabbi Zeira tells his son, Puk Tani Luhu, go and publicize, tell everybody, Tani Luhu means to go out and teach, the following braisa, which states as follows. Hiskinu shloyu makablin edus ha'chodesh, elo kidei she'ishu shuhus bayom lahakriv timidin umusofim niskem. Following up on what our mission had said, that they held off accepting the witnesses. So this braisa tells us that they held off accepting the witnesses unless there was enough time still in the day to go be makriv the korban tamid shobein harbayim, the tamidim, that's what it means, the tamidim, umusafim, and the korban musaf, the niskeim, and the appropriate libations that come along with them. And then, for lomar shira, shalom b'shibush, because this would allow them to go and sing the korban tamid shobein harbayim song without a mistake being made. Now, Rabbi Zeira is going to tell his son Abba Bray to go teach this to everybody. Here's my raya, he says. E amris bishlama amur shira dechol. If, like I said, they in fact sang the shira of chol on the Tamid Shobein Arbayim, and this would prevent that mistakenly from being recited, we understand. Hainu de ikoshibush. That's why this braisa states that they shouldn't say the song without a mistake. Veloma shira shelo b'shibush. However, if it's like you in Bavel, that you say Shelo Amur Shira Kol Ikar, so then what Shibush is there? Ela Yamis Lo Amur Klal My Shibush Ikar. Then what mistake is there? They didn't say anything, so how is that called a mistake? Someone says, no, that's not a raya, because Kivan to Lo Amur Klal, since they didn't say anything, and Lo Shibush Galu Mizeh. What bigger mistake could there possibly be than not singing at all? So therefore, this braisa that Reb Zeira tried to bring to support his view, that they sang the regular weekday song, and that was the error, Lav Davka, the error could be that they didn't sing any song at all, and therefore the opinion of Bavel or the opinion of Zera both fit into this price. Try again. Masi Rav Acha Bar Huna said, Tomid Shel Rosh Hashanah Shachris Karev Kilchaso. So on the morning of Rosh Hashanah, when they hadn't yet accepted the new witnesses, but it would be most likely, because we said that Elul was almost never Mali, so the 30th day after the previous Rosh Chodesh Elul, Mistam is going to be Rosh Hashanah, but they didn't know this yet. The witnesses didn't come. The Karben Tomid Shel Shachris is brought right away early in the morning. It's the first Karben of the day. And therefore, so by the bringing of the Karben Tomid Shel Shachris, they brought it in the regular way, singing the regular weekday song. However, the Musaf, now they're going to bring the Korban Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, Ma'omer, what song did they accompany the singing of the Korban Musaf with? So it's a kapitel of the Tillim. Rashi explains, they're saying the whole kapitel, we just hear in our Gemara, quote, an essential line from that kapitel, but they're saying the whole kapitel. And they would sing, Harninu Lelokim, Uzenu Hariu Leloke Yaakov. They would say, let us sing very happily to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our Uz, our strength, and let us Hariu Leloka Yaakov, and blow the Trua to the God of Yaakov. So this Kapitel Tillim, Kapitel Peyalef, is what they would sing when they brought the Korban Musaf. B'mincha, by the Korban Tamid, Shobein Arbayim, Mahu Omer, what song would they sing? So if it was a regular weekday, they would sing the morning song, whatever day of the week it was. But, the Shir Shel Yom. But, if it was Rosh Hashanah, they would sing the kapitel, and this was kapitel Chav Tes. They would say the whole kapitel again, Rashi says, Kol Hashem Yochil Midbar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes his awe, he causes the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. Now, Ubizman Shechol Rosh Hashanah Lios Bechamishi B'Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah can be on a Thursday, or it turns out that it was on Thursday, that's one of the days it can be, it can't be on Aleph, Dalet, or Vav, but it could be on Hay. So, Lo Adu Rosh, so it could certainly be on a Thursday. So, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, so then Thursday's regular Shir Shel Yom is Harninu Lelokim Uzenu, which is a special kapitel Pei Aleph, that they would go and sing for the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So, if they sang it in the morning on Thursday, and then they would sing it again, it turned out to be Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, so they would sing the same kapitel two times in a row. That's not ideal. So therefore, this braisa tells us, "Bizman shechol Rosh Hashanah lios b'chamishi b'Shabbos." If it was on Thursday, so then Shashir Shalom Harninu Lelokim Uzenu, which the regular day of the week, the Thursday Yom, is Kapitel Pei Aleph. So then, Lo haya omer b'shachar saninu. So they would change it if they expected today to be Rosh Hashanah, so they wouldn't sing the regular Shir Shel Hayom for Thursday. Instead, they would sing a different kapitel, because if they were to sing the regular Thursday one, and then it would be Rosh Hashanah, they would have to sing the kapitel a second time by the Musaf, and it's pasdish to sing the same kapitel twice in a row. Because they would end up repeating kapitel Pei Aleph twice. Now, here's the proof that Rav Acha Bar Huna wants to bring to tell the people in Babel their opinion, Hacha, that they didn't sing at all, is wrong. Because Elomahu Omer, so if they didn't sing the regular Thursday morning kapitel, what would they say? Elomahu Omer, Hasirosi Misevel Shechmo. They would instead read kapitel Pei Aleph from starting later in the kapitel. They would skip the first part, which they would then not have to repeat. So they would read it from later in the kapitel. But if the witnesses came after the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar had already been brought, which is normally the case, so they sang the regular Shir Shayom, so then, no, they would say it then twice. Omer Haninu, no problem. It's not an issur to say it twice, it just was pasnish. It's better not to. But if there was no choice, the witnesses hadn't come by the time of the Korban Tomet Shel Shachar was being brought, so therefore they would sing the Shir Shayom for Thursday, and then by Musaf they would sing the Shir Shayom from Thursday again as part of the Korban Musaf. No problem. Omer Haninu again. Even though they're reading it twice. You shouldn't do that if you have a choice, but if you have no choice, no problem. Now, here's the proof. If you say, like the Rav Zeira said in Eretz Yisrael, that the opinion was that they would sing the regular Thursday Shir, so when in doubt, they would say the regular Thursday Shir. So they said it by Shachris, and Mistama, they said it by the Mincha, by the Korban Tomet Shel Ben Arba'im as well. And that was the kilkel that they could talk about in case the witnesses came later in the day, that they had already sung the Shir of the Korban Tomet Shel Ben Arba'im, the regular weekday song. So they sang a song which turned out to be wrong. And therefore, Hainu Dekamar Omro V'choflo. And that's why in our case here, we see that the default position is that you sing the regular weekday song, and that's why the default position was when they hadn't accepted the witnesses early in the morning. So they sang the regular Thursday morning shir, and knew they would say it again. So you clearly see that they sang a song when in doubt. However, Ella, Iamis, if you want to say like they did in Babel, Lo Omer Klau, they didn't say any type of song at all. So then what does it mean in the Brisa, my Omer V'Chovlo? If they're in doubt, they wouldn't sing any song. So therefore, why would they have to repeat it? They didn't sing it in the first place. And we turn to Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara answers, no, Shiny Hassan, that's different, because the Shira, the Yomehu, here, they're not actually doing something wrong. Mimanushaf, if it's Rosh Hashanah, so they're singing the right song for Rosh Hashanah. If it's not Rosh Hashanah, so they're singing the right song for Thursday morning. And that's why, in this and only this case, did they sing a song, because there was no downside. Mimanushaf, they were singing the right song. But in the other day of the week, the default position would be, if you're in doubt, don't do anything. Like they said in Babel, Shalom Amru Shira Kol Ikar. When in doubt, better to do nothing than to sing an incorrect song, an act of omission. Shev Yal Tase is never as bad as doing something commission to do actually something incorrect. So therefore, in Babel they said, when in doubt, do nothing. Lo Amru Shira Klal. With this, we conclude today's share.